DW.
I must be frank that the future is very grim for us. It's very hard for us to retain our relative independence in view of political autonomy as we are part of China.
Bookseller Daniel Lee is anticipating darker days for Hong Kong. And that is despite him having his own store in Mong Kok, one of the most vibrant and brightest quarters of the metropolis that's home to around 7.3 million people. In the evenings, this area is a sea of neon lights and advertisements with countless honking trucks, shops, takeaway stores, and tacky boutiques. A narrow entrance leads to the seventh floor of a rundown apartment block in Sai Yeong Choi Street. This is where Lee's bookshop, the Hong Kong Reader, is tucked away. 50 square meters where freedom of expression reigns supreme, says the slim humanist who studied philosophy. Daniel Lee comes across like someone who's not too bothered about the growing repressions from mainland China because he's convinced he'll get by somehow. According to Lee, the political pressure on Hong Kong has been steadily mounting since this former British Crown colony was returned to China 21 years ago.
We do not have a list of banned books in Hong Kong. You are free to read anything you want. The internet is open to us. You can browse and search for anything that you can get to. We have all the main websites available, for example, Facebook, Google, and which are not available in the mainland. So Hong Kong is abstained from the Great Firewall of China right now. But things are getting harder now, I guess. It's not that the Hong Kong government is under pressure to enlist a banned book list, but we see that publishers are being arrested, not by the Hong Kong authority, but by CCP, very obscure ways where people arrested come out and say that they went back to China with their own way, which is not going through the normal custom and immigration. So things are getting very fishy.
Toward the end of 2015, booksellers and publishers were in the crosshairs of China's Secret Service. Back then, a colleague of Lee, the Hong Kong bookseller Bo Li, disappeared without a trace. The same happened to Lam Wing Kei and three other colleagues. It soon became clear that Chinese security services had abducted them and taken them to mainland China, where they were imprisoned. Thousands took to the streets of Hong Kong to protest against Beijing's illegal actions. Hong Kong Reader has the feel of an alternative bookshop in Germany that might have been opened in the 1970s. Close-packed shelves fill the narrow space. Left to the entrance, there's an elevated counter with a cash register. Behind it stands a sofa and a table with chairs, and there's coffee for the customers. At one end, there's a shelf with books by Camus, Nietzsche, a little fiction, geography, history, all in English. Opposite this shelf, there are long rows of Chinese books. In between are secondhand books. Some customers are leafing silently through the books.
They are mainly from a genre that we developed ourselves, which is called Hong Kong Studies. So these books are all mostly about Hong Kong, maybe on politics, on the society, on its history, and the like. And many of them are on the social movement. For example, the best-selling books in 2015 would be, quite a few of them would be on the topic, the Umbrella Movement.
The pro-democracy movement that has become known as the Umbrella Movement has brought tens of thousands of people to the streets since August 2014. The bulk of the protesters are made up of students who are demonstrating against the curtailing of civil rights by the National People's Congress in Beijing, a process that is gradually eroding Hong Kong's partial autonomy. People here are alarmed, says Lee.
You can say that we do not have a very strict or obvious change, because essentially everyone can say anything in Hong Kong. We enjoy freedom of speech, but things can be very subtle. For example, our newspapers, most of them are acquired by entrepreneurs with connection with China, with mainland. That also happens to our radio stations. Maybe we have a so-called national radio in Hong Kong. It retains a kind of independence for a very long time. It's free for them to criticize the government and all kinds of political problems. But in recent years, we see that this national radio is facing pressure from the government. We see that newspapers and television, they are using a kind of self-censorship, where they would censor away more critical or sensitive materials. Or maybe when they talk about demonstration and protests, they will not go too deep into the problems. Instead, they would focus on the more violent scenes. So people are much less able to get to know what really happens, but they only get to know things get violent most of the time. So I'd say that that's a very subtle kind of self-censorship.
當時所有的果汁都要自己榨。State interference is also taking place at the level of language. Cantonese is the language of Hong Kong, while in mainland China, most people speak Mandarin. Whereas Cantonese is, to put it simply, a dialect, the Mandarin spoken in mainland China is a simplified form of traditional Chinese that forms the basis for the written language of all Chinese. And because a growing number of mainland Chinese are migrating to the former British Crown colony, Mandarin is now also gaining more influence in Hong Kong.
I think many people do feel that Cantonese is endangered. But if we are more objective, I'd say it's far from being influenced or oppressed at the moment. But they are trying to push forward of the Mandarin, teaching Chinese in Mandarin, whereas Hong Kong has been teaching Chinese in Cantonese for 100 years, but trying to change that. We see that more TV channel is changing to Mandarin and simplified Chinese, a written character that is used by the mainland, but not in generally in Hong Kong.
This is a crucial but as of yet neglected aspect in the battle for freedom of expression in Hong Kong. Here, the books are printed in pre-communist traditional characters, whereas those on the mainland are printed in a simpler variety of Mandarin, which was introduced to help combat illiteracy. This means that the literature from Hong Kong can be identified immediately, and whoever introduces it to China soon has a problem, says Lee.
When you bring books back to China, you face maybe detention if you bring too much books from Hong Kong, which are written in traditional Chinese characters, which is the characters that we use in Hong Kong. Because essentially, China does not allow any books which are published outside of China.
Okay. Beijing seems to be terrified of uncensored books that are critical of China, and this fear is so great that the Communist Party and security forces were rather unsettled when rumors started circulating that somebody was planning to publish a book on the love life of Chinese President Xi Jinping. Li says this fear of uncensored books is why the People's Republic is trying to control the cultural scene in China by leaning on the authorities in Hong Kong.
There's no control on independent bookstores. By that, I mean bookstores like us, which are very small. But when you talk about chain bookstores, that would be very different, because the biggest chain bookstore in Hong Kong is actually owned by Chinese government. Yeah, they actually a national company. So it's obvious that they control it. Chain bookstores in Hong Kong are known to be selling less books on Chinese politics. They do it very subtly because they won't say we won't sell these books. If you try to order them, they might get you these books also. But most of the time, you do not see them easily in the bookstore. Maybe they stock one or two copies and put into very obscure corner where people would be hard to find them. And when you ask them about it, they pick it out. Yeah, that's the way they do it right now.
Daniel Li is one of the few booksellers in Hong Kong that is still speaking openly. Many of his colleagues have been keeping quiet for some time now so as not to get into trouble. But Li has a backup plan if things become too dangerous for him. Like many in Hong Kong, he has a second foreign passport. It's a comforting thought for him.
Yes, it does. At least it feels that there's somewhere else that I can go. It's not something you can be happy about, because I still think that Hong Kong is my place, it's my home. I've been here all my life, and I don't know why I need to go away. I don't know why I need to give in this place I love for so long. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. Why should I go? Why don't you go?
This report was brought to you by DW.